Please keep your Bible open to John 11, which is our text for this evening. This evening we want to consider Jesus' relationship and ministry towards his favorite family, namely the orphaned family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And Martha and Mary were sisters. Lazarus was their brother. And Jesus had a couple of favorite places that he would stay in when he went to different parts of Palestine for his ministry or during his ministry. And when Jesus was in Galilee, you would find as you read the Gospels, he would like to stay in Capernaum and probably in the house of Peter. But when Jesus was in Judea, you'll find very often that Jesus would stay and dwell in the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus in Bethany. It's a tiny village, Bethany, about 3 kilometers. We are told it's about 15 furlongs. 15 furlongs is about 3 kilometers from Jerusalem, a tiny village. For those of you who have been to the Holy Land, to Israel, and if you go by way of the Jericho Road, and after Jericho on the way to Jerusalem, and just before you reach Jerusalem, you'll pass by Bethany, and usually the coach will stop there, and then they'll direct you to the tomb of Lazarus. Whether it's really the tomb of Lazarus or not, we do not know. But nevertheless, the village of Bethany is still there, and it is Jesus' favorite resting place when he is in Judea. Now, at this point in time, Jesus was in Jerusalem. And when he was in Jerusalem, he received news that from Mary and Martha that Lazarus was very sick. And Martha and Mary expected the Lord to come immediately to heal Lazarus. And one would also expect that Jesus would go immediately to help this family. To Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, whom he was very close to. But no, we find here that Jesus waited. Verse 6 says, "When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." We would expect a good doctor, if he was called to help someone who is sick, would immediately render service. But here we find the Lord Jesus, when told about the very critical situation that Lazarus was in, waited and stayed where he was for 2 days. Question we want to ask this evening is, why did Jesus wait? Why? We know from the passage that Jesus waited for a reason. And firstly, Jesus waited because Jesus loves. Please do not misread Jesus' actions here. When Jesus waited and did not go immediately to heal Lazarus, please do not take it to mean that Jesus did not care and Jesus was indifferent and was callous. No. In verse 3 and 5, we read, "Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Yes, truly, throughout the course of his ministry, throughout his interactions with the family, Jesus showed himself to have loved Lazarus very, very much. And then in verse 5, we also read about the love of Jesus. And Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So it is not because Jesus did not care or Jesus did not love. Jesus loved this family very much. In verse 8, we also find his disciples saying to him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" So when the time came that Jesus would go to Bethany to see Martha and Mary and to help Lazarus, the disciples dissuaded him from going. Now, at this point in time, Jesus was about to enter his Passion Week. He was about to suffer and to be crucified on the cross for our sins. And the Jews, chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees were all at this point in time planning, scheming how they might catch him and arrest him and to kill him. And so it was very dangerous for Jesus to move about at this point in time. Yet Jesus said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world." And we must go now, while it is day, to rescue Lazarus. So Jesus, at this point in time, showed how he loved Lazarus, putting his life on the line. He was in danger. Yet when the time came for him to go, he went, not caring for his life. And so we, from the text, can see Jesus truly loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And Jesus waited for a reason. And Jesus here surely gives us a picture of his unconditional love. And the words used here with reference to love is the familiar word that we often hear, the word agapao, agape, divine, supreme, unconditional love. Yes, Jesus loved them to that very, very extreme extent. It is the love of God which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. And for when we were yet without strength, like Lazarus, sick, dying, and helpless, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a righteous man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is a self-sacrificing kind of love that Jesus is revealing here. Friends, the Bible tells us this, that God loves us. And he has demonstrated how much he loves you and me by coming down to earth to become a man, to be our substitute and representative so that he can die on the cross to save us from our sins. You know, all the other religions of the world talk about how man can attain to godhood, how man can become God. It is only the Bible, the Christian faith, that tells us of God becoming man to help us, to save us from our sins. As John Calvin, the great French reformer, has said, "The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men might become the sons of God." What a wonderful God and Savior we have. A God who loves us to that extent that he would leave his glory and become like his creature, save us from eternal damnation, to translate us to his heavenly kingdom. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus, my dear friends, can return any time now. His coming is imminent. And when he comes this time, he comes to judge the world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why does Jesus wait and delay his coming? It is because he loves you and me, waiting for us to repent of our sins and to come before him. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. Will you not ask him today, friends, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, save me"? be my Savior. So Jesus waited because he loves. And Jesus waited also because he knows. Jesus is God. And even when he was on earth, he knew. And he had all knowledge. And when he heard that the news that Lazarus was nearing death, he said in verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And Jesus said that the sickness is not unto death, but later we read that Lazarus did die from his sickness. And what did Jesus mean when he said that this sickness is not unto death? Well, what Jesus meant was this death will not lead to, this sickness will not lead to permanent death. And Jesus knew that Lazarus will live again. Jesus knew in his heart when, in himself, at the appointed time, when he goes to Bethany, Lazarus would be dead and he would do a miracle to give life back to Lazarus. And Jesus at this point in time was about to suffer and to die. It was just about one week away from his crucifixion. And here Jesus said, all these things are done for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. What did Jesus mean when he said that all these things are meant for the glory of God and that the Son of God might be glorified thereby? Jesus means here that it is now the time for him to manifest his person and his power. When Jesus said that he will be glorified, he was talking about his resurrection. Jesus was going to use Lazarus as an object lesson. So Jesus purposely waited for Lazarus to die in order to teach an important vital lesson to those who would be there in Bethany. He wanted to teach them about his resurrection. And just as Lazarus would be raised from the grave, Christ will also be raised from the dead by the Father. So Jesus is all-knowing, is omniscient. He knows that he will raise Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus also knows for sure that when he dies, when after his crucifixion, when he's buried, his Father will raise him up on the third day and therefore is able to declare in verse 25, what a wonderful gospel statement that Jesus said in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? There could be times when we ask the Lord to meet a certain need in our lives, and the Lord does not answer immediately. And just like in this case, Martha and Mary went to Jesus for help, but Jesus did not come immediately, did not answer immediately. Jesus waited. And we should not be discouraged. We should know who Jesus is. Jesus is God. He knows our needs. He feels for us. He cares for us. And sometimes when he does not answer immediately, when he waits, please know that he knows the future. He knows what is good for us. He has a purpose in all that he does. So do not be discouraged. We should trust him fully. And he only would give us the best. Because Jesus knows ahead. We don't. Sometimes we pray, we expect an answer immediately. But then the Lord knows if the answer comes or the request is given to you when we pray, something bad, untoward may happen. We can't see ahead, but Jesus can. And so please don't be discouraged when your prayers are not answered. When it is according to God's will, it will be according to God's timing, and the Lord will answer. We are all like amateur chess players. You can only see one or two steps ahead. But the Lord is like the grand master. You can see 20 or 30 moves. Well, recently we have Kasparov challenging the IBM chess machine. Well, the machine can think of what, thousands of moves within a few seconds. Well, Jesus is even greater than that. He knows everything. And should we not trust him if he knows so many moves ahead? What will happen? We should have all confidence trusting in him in all things. Why did Jesus wait? In the case of Lazarus, it is because he wanted to test the faith of Martha and Mary and those in Bethany, to see if they believed that he is the resurrection and the life and could raise Lazarus up there and then. It was to test their faith. It was also to glorify himself and his Father. Now please understand that by this time, the people in Bethany, including Martha and Mary, should realize who Jesus is and what he can do. Although Jesus waited and did not come and waited for Lazarus to die that he may do a miracle, they should not be so disturbed. Because at this point in time, Jesus had been ministering to them for almost 4 years already. And all along, Jesus has taught many things concerning who he was. And Jesus performed many miracles. They should realize that Jesus could do this very, very powerful miracle of even raising the dead. And should not be disturbed that Jesus waited. And Jesus at this point was testing their faith. And at this point in time, Lazarus was already 4 days. When Jesus arrived at the tomb, Lazarus had already died for 4 days, in which time Lazarus' body was already decomposing. And as we have read, he's already quite smelly. And Jesus purposely waited for such a length of time so that it would be without doubt Lazarus had indeed died, and that when he raised Lazarus from the dead, they will not doubt the fact that Lazarus was just sleeping. It would be a very, very clear miracle that Jesus would perform. Jesus waited also because Jesus is able to heal, and Jesus knows he has the power. Jesus has the power to heal and to raise the dead. Jesus is no ordinary physician. He is the doctor of doctors, a doctor of our spiritual soul, our spiritual life. He wants to heal us of our sinful disease that we are born with, our sins. And of course, Jesus was concerned for the physical well-being of Lazarus. And more importantly, although Jesus knew that he would raise Lazarus from the dead, Jesus was more concerned over the spiritual well-being of those that were still alive at that point in time in Bethany. And Jesus had intentions not only to go to Bethany to raise Lazarus from the dead, but also to raise the people in Bethany from their spiritual deadness. Although the physical death of Lazarus was crucial, the spiritual sickness of the people in Bethany was even more crucial. And Jesus, when he waited, wanted to heal not only the physical, but also the spiritual aspect of our lives. And that's why Jesus made this gospel statement, I am the resurrection and the life. Believest thou this, that Jesus can raise you from the dead, that Jesus can cleanse you from all your sins and make you new and alive? We are all dead in our sins, in our trespasses. But here Jesus says that he can raise us up and give us life. And what is the proof that Jesus gives to show that he can save us from our sins, that he can bring us to heaven and give us eternal life? By the very miracle that he can raise people from the dead physically. Can anybody do that? Only God can raise people from the dead. It is, however, quite disheartening to read from this passage that many, if not all, the friends of Lazarus living in Bethany did not believe that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead. Just read verses 33 to 40. When Jesus went to Bethany, finally, what was the response, the reaction of the people? When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? And Jesus therefore again groaned in himself. Groaning in himself cometh to the grave. And it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? So we find that those in Bethany did not have that fullness of faith. They had very little faith. Some of them did not even have faith. They doubted that Jesus could heal. And that's why they were crying and weeping so terribly. And Jesus is said to have wept with them. Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? And Jesus was weeping with those who weep. Yes, of course, Jesus feels for us and feels with us. But I think Jesus weeps here. Also, his sorrow was compounded not only to see the people sorrowing over the departure of a loved one, but I think his sorrow, Jesus's sorrow here was compounded by the unbelief and the lack of faith of the people. Is it not so? When Jesus asked them to take away the stone, and they said, well, he's already dead and is stinking for 4 days. And they were all crying over the helplessness, hopelessness of the situation, thinking in their hearts, Jesus, why do you come so late? Jesus groaned within his heart, and he groaned because of their lack of faith in him. At this point in time, Jesus was going to do a mighty miracle, the calling of the dead out of the grave and to give life. And who were the dead? Not just Lazarus. It were those who were spiritually dead at this point in time. And in fact, this miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead was not meant for Lazarus. Probably Lazarus would, we do not know where exactly he is now. The scripture doesn't say. Some have conjectured Lazarus must be in heaven since he has already died. 4 days have passed. He was probably enjoying the bliss of heaven. And he would probably be complaining when he's brought back to life. Why you call me back? But nevertheless, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead for a purpose, not for Lazarus' sake, but for the sake of the people who were still alive then. That they may be awakened from their spiritual deadness and slumber. And that's why in verses 41 and 42, let's read what Jesus said. And that's why Jesus prayed, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. You see, Jesus here says very clearly, the raising of Lazarus from the dead was meant for those who stood by, who were witnesses, spectators at that point in time, that they may realize that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he is the resurrection and the life, and that the Father has sent him. So when Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth, and not only was Lazarus brought back to life, but also many of the Jews who were friends of the family. For verse 45 tells us, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. They believed. Praise the Lord. So not only was Lazarus raised from the dead, we find many, many others of Bethany raised from the dead. In the true sense, raised from their spiritual deadness. And the miracle performed by Jesus here was for a very special purpose. And this miracle that Jesus did was for a sign to indicate, to teach an important truth. It was to direct the people's attention to the fact that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he has the power over life, over death. And those who want eternal life must only come to him and him alone. No other person has this power. And Jesus here gives a glimpse of his resurrection power. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And then he himself will be raised from the dead 3 days after he dies. Knowing that Jesus is the resurrection and the life and has this power, will you not come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him? Is he not worthy of your trust and your faith, of your belief? You trust in yourself, you will fail. Do you have the power over life and death? Can you raise yourself up from the grave? You can't. The very fact that alive is hanging on a thin thread. Alive is not in our hands. If God were to say, tonight your soul is required of thee, you cannot object and say, God, wait. You cannot do this. When the time is up, it is up. Our life is taken. Life is not in our hands. We are so weak. Can we help ourselves? And yet, it's so sad that people today think that they can save themselves. How can they save themselves when they can't even conquer death? But here Jesus shows that he can conquer death. And he has the power to give life. If you will only call up and cry to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him, Lord, have mercy on me, save me from my sins, raise me from the dead, he will cry out and shout with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And whatever your name is, the Lord will call your name. Come forth. Experience this spiritual awakening. He will call your name, just like he called Lazarus' name over here. Will you ask the Lord and pray to him, to ask him to raise you up this evening? Will you not ask him to call your name? If you are already a Christian but have backslided, the Lord can restore you. Will you not ask the Lord to call your name? If you are still not saved, still outside the family of God, outside his kingdom, not sure when you die you will go to heaven, you're feeling and you're under the weight and burden of your sin and your guilt, you want to be released, you want to be saved, you can be saved. Just say a simple prayer, humbly and sincerely from your heart, Lord, save me. And the Lord will call your name. Come forth. The Lord will raise you from the dead, just like he raised Lazarus from the dead, and will heal you. Why does Jesus wait? It is because he loves us. He knows us. And he wants to call us by name. And he is able and he desires to heal us. And he is able to raise us from the dead. Please don't keep the Lord Jesus waiting. Receive him today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be safe. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He will call your name and will raise you from the dead. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for sending thy only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to become a man, to live a perfect life, to keep the law, and finally to be sacrificed on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. Lord, we also thank you that we serve not a dead Savior, but a living Savior who is risen from the grave, is now sitting at thy right hand. And Lord, we pray that you will visit us this evening with thy peace, with thy mercy, with thy grace, that if we do not know the Lord Jesus tonight, we will know him. And Lord, cleanse us from all our sins. Raise us from the dead to serve you, the living and true God. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.